He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It's the Wednesday, January the 10th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. Well, we had a pop out of the gate, but now I see a little bit of a fade taking place, which puts the Dow right now up just 11 points. That puts it at 37,536. The S&P is now flat. That was up about 25 basis points or so. Not anymore. It's flat at 47.57. The NASDAQ also popped a bit out of the gate, up about 30 basis points. Not anymore. The NASDAQ's down 6 to 14,851. Small caps down about a quarter of a percent. Oil up $1.06 today to $73.30. And the 10-year is dead even right there at 4%. That seems to be where it wants to hang out these days. And, of course, Bitcoin, there was some drama in Bitcoin after the close of the market yesterday with the hacking of the SEC's Twitter account. And a false tweet sent out. Bitcoin is down $1,393 today to $45,130. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. And, you know, we just kind of have a mixed start, a very uneven start to the year. 2024. We finished with a roar in December, and it looked very, very overbought and overvalued to me as we ended the year. And I called for a correction during the month of January, especially in those big cap, mega cap stocks. We haven't really seen that yet. We have, to some extent, the first several days of the year. And then we've just kind of had kind of an uncertain start since then to 2024.
Not much conviction in 2024, right?
Not yet. I mean, there's a lot of cross currents. The price of the market, the valuation of the market's a big factor. 20.7 is where the forward PE is. That's too high. We're going to get an inflation report tomorrow, which kind of explains the doldrums today. Why make any big commitments until we know where the CPI and the inflation numbers are at? Although I think it's pretty long odds that we'll see a rate hike this year, but it could push off the rate cut that everybody's looking for now. Everybody wants a rate cut as soon as possible, and we may not get that. We had a pretty good gain in the market going on yesterday, then it kind of faded there at the end. And if I were just to step back and look at the charts of the market right now, which I do every morning, both the S&P 500 and the Dow are kind of forming a topping formation, a consolidation pattern. It can be either topping or consolidation from a very, very overbought move that it made in December. So some of that has to be worked off. Now, that doesn't mean you can't find areas to put money to work right now. I'm still putting money to work right now. But, you know, you have to be very careful and a little bit more judicious than normal and more selective because the selection is starting to dwindle. Although we're still in overbought territory, I've got 607 B-plus or better ranked stocks today to look at, and another 322 A-plus or better momentum stocks. That's a big number, and that's way more than the average over the years. And, of course, tomorrow we get a CPI report. Then we get PPI inflation numbers on Friday. And we get what I think is going to be the biggest factor over the next couple of months, earnings. The ENPE. And the EN forward PE. And the EN peg ratios, which is the PE ratio divided by the growth rates. And that E is subject to change on a regular basis, just as the price is. And the E changes much more slowly because it's dependent upon companies reporting earnings and or analysts guiding or companies guiding higher, guiding lower. I would just say so far, Barry, that the trend has been companies guiding higher. I have not seen, I've only seen a few warnings of companies guiding lower. Most of the companies that are giving some pre-guidance here are guiding higher, all right? Yeah. So that's and just the tenor right now.
Yeah, and a lot of those, you know, the estimates were starting to bump up during last quarter where when they were giving forward guidance, whereas, you know, if when you began 2023, you kind of expected a bit of an earnings slowdown at the end of 2023, and you know, really earnings held up well for last year. It was one of the reasons that the market did well, and those earning estimates have kind of were kind of ticking up, you know, even into at least the first half of 2024.
Yes, and I'm looking at we're still getting a lot of forecasts from some of these big firms. Bank of America has invented their own indicator called the Risk Love Indicator. Okay, but it basically, to me, it pretty much matches the Relative Strength Indicator, showing overbought times in the market and oversold times when I think you could also call it a fear-greed indicator. And they're looking at the current risk-love indicator, and it's hit euphoric levels. And that's exactly what, we were warning about in the last couple of weeks of December. We were hitting euphoric levels. It showed up in the relative strength indicator with huge overbought status on the Dow, especially on small caps, which had a huge run the last couple weeks of the year on those mega caps. And they see that euphoric level still. Now, the what was the word that Greenspan used
exuberance? What was
that? Irrational exuberance. Okay, well, euphoria is a step below that. I mean, irrational exuberance was probably the strongest language I ever heard used. And boy, was he right. I mean, Alan Greenspan was right. The only thing was he was early on his call. He was saying that in about 99 was an unbelievable year in the market. And then it all came crashing down the House of Cards in about March of 2000. The irrational exuberance came out of the market in a big way. And when it was all over, the NASDAQ was down 79%. Now, I hear people talking about 2008, 2009. I talked to a guy not too long ago. He says, I got into this business in 08 and 09. And, of course, the S&P went down 53% from peak to trough during the financial crisis of 09. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, you poor soul. I got in 99, okay, 98, late 98. Before the NASDAQ. Of course, we had one year where I thought, wow, this is unbelievable. And then, of course, in the year 2000, that began the 79% crash of the NASDAQ, which, you know, makes the 53% sell-off in the S&P 500 in 2008-2009 child's play. So anyways, you know what? It's part of being in the market. And over time, you see irrational exuberance on the upside. Bank of America calls it euphoric levels. And then you also see the opposite of that when you hit depressive panic levels down at the bottom. Now, the last time we hit a euphoric level where we're at here right now, and it could get more euphoric, okay? It could get more euphoric, but you got to go back to the end of 20 or the beginning of 2021. That's when we started turning bearish. Knowing that the market was way overbought. That was coming out of COVID. You had COVID money sloshing around. You had people chasing long-duration stocks like crazy. And that, of course, came all crashing down in 2022. But nothing like 2000. We had about a 30% correction in the NASDAQ in 2022. Okay, but having said that, Bank of America still likes the long term of the market despite the current euphoric levels. Why did natural gas jump yesterday? Well, I got the reason when we come back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we got hit with some weather yesterday, and I'm sure, you know.
How about that?
Well, I think everybody's got some stories to tell about this big wave that went across most of America. We got hit at about 3 o'clock yesterday when the wind, 70 miles an hour, which, you know, that's very unusual. You know, in a non-hurricane type situation, and we had massive trucks truck overturn on the Ravenel Bridge.
Yeah, that big tractor trailer, high profile vehicle. It's one of the reasons they didn't have school yesterday. But yeah, blew over, blocked all three lanes of traffic on the bridge there.
Yes, and I think my solar panels are in Arkansas by now. No, they're still here, but they're certainly messed up. They're not anchored down. Looking across the river, you know, I live on a river, a saltwater river. I couldn't even, just the wind blowing on top of that river and the spray, the water that was coming up from the river. Made this mist that was very eerie, and 70 miles per hour. I just like you. It makes you realize how vulnerable we really are to Mother Nature, and you know, there's just not a lot you could do. I had battened down the hatches as well as I could before it hit, and it was much stronger than anybody anticipated, I think.
I was just glad the kids' trampoline made it through in the backyard. I had that thing strapped down, so
that's surprising.
It made it through, so we're good.
My son-in-law, he drives kind of a rural road to his dental office, and a branch came down, smashed his window. He's lucky it didn't smash him.
Wow.
And other than that, it was uneventful. Now it's going to be windy here for quite some time. So anyways, natural gas had the biggest one-day gain since June. Why? Well, it's cold today across America. It's
cold,
very
cold. Behind that front that came
through. Yes, and it's going to be cold for a while. So yesterday, the natural gas stocks, natural gas prices bolted higher. Let's see. Oh, that was, you know, so during all that wind and everything, I saw a news item that the SEC had approved Bitcoin for ETFs, which is kind of like sell the rumor, buy the news, sell the rumor, or no, just the opposite, buy the rumor, sell the news. We've kind of known this is coming, but it ended up not being true. In fact, Gary Gensler, he had to go say about an hour later, saying, no, our account has been hacked on X, formerly Twitter, and somebody sent that message out and probably traded it, right? Bought a bunch right before, sent the message out, then they sold it. I don't know if you can track down whoever did it. I don't know. But anyways, you know, Bitcoin's a dark and scary place for me, and that's why I just don't really mess with it too much. But I do think that it will get approved probably today or tomorrow, and you'll have ETF selling Bitcoin, okay?
Well, that, it's a commodity. I mean, it's like any commodity.
It is,
right?
A commodity. It, you know, the, what can I trick, can I make bread from it? Can
yeah, I mean, well, the trick is it's only as worth, you know, worth as much as the next person will pay you for.
Yeah,
it, right?
Supply and demand.
Right.
That's exactly what it is, and you try to measure that. Okay, how do you measure that? That's why I can't sink my teeth into Bitcoin, but I know a lot of others have done well with it, and. You know, more power to you. Now, that rumor about Hewlett-Packard Enterprises buying Juniper Networks, that did end up being true. You've got a 2% grower buying a 4% grower. Maybe that'll increase their growth a little bit. And Juniper is being bought out. Now, weight loss drugs, okay? If you go down the line a little bit, be like semiconductors and the semiconductor equipment makers, or, you know, let's use NVIDIA as an example. NVIDIA makes or designs the chips. Taiwan Semiconductor actually produces the chips. Well, Lilly and Novo Nordisk designed the drug, Wegovy and Zepbound, and a company called Catalent makes the drugs. And they're ramping up GLP production. Shares of contract manufacturer Catalent traded higher on Tuesday to reach the highest level in more than 4 months. They highlighted the company's production capacity related to the GLP-1 class of weight loss drugs. And, you know, there is that big conference going on there's actually three big conferences going right now, on right now.
One in Vegas.
Yeah, you got the CES, which used to be the big one. That was the big one. It's not as big as it used to be, but it's still big. You got a big retail conference going on in Orlando. And then over on the other side of the country, you've got the big medical device and drug conference, biotech conference, going on in the Bay Area. So Catalent, CTLT, I've had it on my watch list. It's been bouncing around, but that's a pretty good franchise. I don't know how much of the I don't know how much they're making. Seems to me like Lilly and Novo Nordisk make a lot of their own also, but Catalent is a contract manufacturer that is going to bring in a lot of top line revenue. Now it's up to them to make sure it's profitable.
Well, and they have to, yeah, probably go find more capacity versus them, you know, creating or building more capacity or investing in capacity. So that's the reason why you've got these actual, you know, contract yep. makers out there.
Yep. Now, okay, I always like these contrarian calls out there. There's always some outliers. Nomura is an outlier. They say don't write off another Fed rate hike just yet. Okay, well, I think they're the only ones that I've seen that is actually say that we could get another Fed rate. I suppose you can't write it off entirely.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we get to see, we can do get a CPI report and a PPI report in the next two days. John Williams speaks this afternoon, one of the Fed speakers, so I guess there's a chance, right?
Yeah, he may say something. And then, well, if it comes in, the CPI jumps back up over 4%, we're hovering right under 3 right now. And if the PPI goes up, I still don't think it'd have to go up an awful lot to see a rate hike. Red Sea crisis continues. Shipping costs swell further. The Houthis launched the biggest attack yet. Well, you know,
it's time to do something about that one.
I mean, well, the drones are attacking these ships in the Red Sea. Yesterday, the U.S. and U.K. naval forces shot down 21 drones, so I guess we are doing something about it. And I know that we moved an aircraft carrier into the Red Sea. And missiles. They're firing drones and missiles. Well,
fired anti-ship missile.
I think what you got to do is take out where they're firing the missiles from instead of shooting down the missiles. This is the 26th Houthi attack on commercial shipping lanes since November 19th. Something's got to give. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. A little bit of a rally taking place. Dow up 56, NASDAQ up 35, and the S&P up 8.5 points so far here today. On the day before the CPI report, 2 days before the PPI report, and earnings from several large banks and United Healthcare. That will be on Friday. Well, the semiconductor sales rose for the first time in November since August of 2022. That's a pretty significant length of time there. That's good news, and the semiconductors have kind of regained their juju here recently.
Yeah, that was mainly due to that PC slowdown after everyone had purchased
the PC slowdown
during COVID.
All that had to be worked off, right. And now the PCs bought during that period of time are now outdated, right? You need faster chips, more memory. But anyways, the semiconductor sales rose for the first time in November. That goes way back to August 20 of 2022. Chip sales rose 5.3% year over year to $48 billion. That's a lot of chips. And so we've seen some renewed, we've seen NVIDIA breaking out to the upside. I told you I still like NVIDIA. We saw AMD breaking out to the upside. We saw Broadcom breaking out to the upside, so that still seems to be a pretty good sector. It's probably the sector, if you go over the last 10 years, I don't know of another sector that's had the kind of performance that the semiconductors have had. I mean, that is high tech to the max. And just look how far we've come in the capabilities of chips over the years. Well, the Boeing CEO says we must acknowledge quality issues with the aircraft. You know, I was looking at the list here. There's really not that many 737 MAX 9s aircrafts in operation.
There's a lot ordered.
Yeah, I see about 200 currently in operation, 80 in the U.S., or United Airlines has 80, and Alaska has 65. They're the two biggest by far. The rest only have a few, so it's basically United Airlines and Alaska, and they're going through now with the procedure to check the bolts in that door. It's a plug that goes in the shape of a door.
And they were describing that he was, I guess, almost in tears during the press conference. I'm like, it just seems like an odd situation.
Yeah, and I was reading the pilot's account or the crew's account of the plane. I mean, that thing blew out, and then the door to the cockpit opened. There's a design in the plane that opens the door to the cockpit if there's a depressurization in the cabin. And so they had to fly the plane with this tremendous noise of the wind coming through the plane.
And had to get it down below a certain altitude where things aren't getting sucked out, really.
Wow.
And oxygen levels.
They couldn't hear each other talk. You know, last night I just opened my door when I saw the river the wind on the river was just the noise, the roaring of the wind. very very eerie sound. And imagine being up when they were, I think they were at 18,000 feet, and that plug, the door did land in the backyard of a school teacher.
Wow.
Who turned it in.
I mean, you got to think the air is, I mean, it's freezing cold up there, too. So, you know, not only you got air, low, very low oxygen levels, very low, very low temperatures until you get that plane below a certain altitude.
I wouldn't want to be sitting in row one or two of that plane. Apple hit with its third downgrade this month. You know, I looked at it myself, and I've been saying I just can't see much upside potential. I can see upside potential, but I can't see that much upside potential. And they're saying the same thing. This is, I've never heard of this company, Redburn. Analyst James Cordwell, he says, there's little room for upside over the next few years. And I agree with that sentiment. Now, if somebody's got a big gain in Apple and they don't want to sell it and this and that, you know, I understand that. But as far as putting new money into it and saying this is one of the best opportunities in the market right now, we don't own any Apple at the current time. Walmart impresses at both CES and so they're at both conferences, all right? They're at the big retail conference down in Orlando, and they're at the CES because they're betting big on drone delivery. I don't know. How does that work? How does a drone deliver 5 gallons of milk? I don't know. Walmart to bring drone deliveries to millions more people in Texas. They're set to make the largest drone delivery expansion by a U.S. retailer with plans to cover up to 1.8 million more households in tech. Retail giant announced at the trade shows in CES 2024. The expansion will include stores across more than 30 towns. What's it like to have a drone land in your house, I guess, in the middle of the night? I would like to hear from somebody that's had Now, only smaller products can be delivered as there is a weight limit. And how do you not hit obstacles? Where are these drones coming from, the warehouse or from a truck? I don't quite understand.
I saw a piece on one. It was basically they deliver medicine in remote parts of the world, right, for life-saving medicines. And essentially, they put this, almost looks like remember the old styrofoam, big styrofoam plane that you could put together, and it was almost like a little glider, and you could throw it.
Yeah, the first throw and the wing would break.
Right, exactly.
At least mine
would.
Yeah. I'm not an aerospace engineer.
It would nosedive right into the ground. But yeah. So they put the thing on almost like a catapult thing. It shoots it off, and it's carrying, in this instance, right, was carrying, life-saving medicines and goes and drops it in remote parts. Well, but, of course, in remote areas, right, it makes sense. But, you had drones flying through New York City, right? How does that work? Right? Power lines?
Yeah. I don't know.
Wind? Don't forget wind, right? Yep. I mean, you got to ground all the drones during a high storm. I mean, I don't know.
Well, we own one of the leading drone makers in America in our emerging growth portfolio. And, unfortunately, drones have become a big, big part of modern warfare. And a lot of these guys are being taken out by a drone that can come out of nowhere, seemingly out of nowhere, and pick out one person. That's how they got Soleimani, right, out of Iran. And they got the guy in Beirut, Lebanon, with the drone, one of the head honchos at Hamas. And, of course, the Hezbollah is using drones, a lot of drones, to attack. And you know what? The drones are
manufactured in
Iran. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. And probably under the ground in tunnels, which is a whole new form of warfare. That's where they found the Gaza Strip. They're making all those rockets under the ground. And of course, they know where Yahya Sinwar is. But he's surrounded by hostages in tunnels. So this is a whole new kind of warfare between drones and tunnels. I wonder if John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos, when he's writing about the end, you know, saw all of these crazy weapons of war and described them as locusts and grasshoppers. Who knows? But we live in crazy, crazy times with drones flying about. We don't know if a drone's bringing medicine or an assassination bomb, right?
Well, when I saw the, you know, I saw the piece on a foam or a foam grenade or a foam bomb, essentially, you know, Israel can detonate something that basically foams up and, you know, blocks off an entire tunnel,
yeah.
Right? Which in my mind, you know, it's like you know, you use that for insulation and other things, like you know, at your home. It was just, you know, kind of blew my mind thinking, you know, I've never really thought about you know, creating some almost, yeah, like a, reminded me of like, you know, some Spider-Man web, right? Blocking,
yeah,
blocking a tunnel. But
yeah, I mean, it's
interesting.
I'm sure they'll get him eventually, but, you know, the problem is the hostage. He surrounded himself with whatever's left of the 160 hostages. All right, when we come back, we'll look underneath the surface. I'm seeing some breakouts here in the market today in advance of tomorrow's big CPI report. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, looks like the stock of the day, boy, that's an old San Diego company. It's been around for a long time. I knew a lot of people I grew up. I mean, this stock, this company's really pretty old. I can remember it back in the 70s, maybe late, early 70s, WD-40. Is up 17% today, breaking out to a new all-time high. And I know a lot of people that either owned the stock, it was that miracle formula in the blue and yellow can. I don't know if they came up with a whole lot of other products since then. I think they have. But they had a very good earnings report on WD-40, so a lot of rust going on. That stock is now $276 per share. Now, in the Dow, Salesforce, it's big tech that's leading the way in the market today. There's definitely still an appetite for it. People maybe that got left behind last year with the rally in big tech, even though you know, it dominated the market. I don't look for the big mega caps to dominate the market this year. But, you know, if you look on a relative basis at the market today, that's where the strength is coming from. Salesforce is up 1.9%. It's a member of the Dow. Home Depot is up 1.7%. You've got Microsoft, this is all in the Dow, up 1.6%. Boeing up 1.4%. And on the downside, you've got Walgreens down 3%, Intel down 1.2%, and Pfizer down 1.2%. So those are the winners and losers in the Dow. The Dow is up just a little bit here today. The S&P 500, which gives us a little bit better look into the market. Intuitive Surgical is up 5.6%. You know, that was one of those transformative, disruptive stocks, you know, in the surgery area.
Is that the one that made the Da Vinci machine?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, and it's, you know, laser. I mean, it's robotic surgery on intricate parts of the spine and other areas where the surgeon is actually standing off to the side in the room and guiding it.
Yeah, you use a lot for hernia surgery. Actually, my father-in-law and my dad both had the machine used for their hernia surgeries this summer.
So. Intuitive Surgical's up 5.6%, so they also had a good earnings report. I don't know if they used WD-40 in there. I doubt it. But that does
some kind
if
of
the
lubricant,
machine's
right?
squeaking, if it's squeaking and making noise. ISRG is up 5.6%. And, you know, the resilience of the home builders has really been incredible. The home builders, Lennar, up 3.5% today. D.R. Horton up 1.7%. Pulte Homes up 1.5%. It just comes down to the shortage issue of homes. And, you know, one of the reasons that shortage issue was there is because people aren't selling their current homes because they have low mortgages, 2%, 3%, or 3%. Who wants to negotiate a new mortgage up over 6, 6.5? So you have a shortage of homes. And, of course, it's the new home builders filling that gap. You've also got some of the other big tech stocks doing well. Meta, formerly known as Facebook, is up 2.8%. Of course, these are a lot of the big winners from last year. NVIDIA is breaking out again today. It's up 2.4%. ServiceNow, probably the best enterprise software stock out there. It's been a big winner for us over the years, one of the better stocks that we've ever found. Now is up 1.7%. And Amazon, which I think they're getting, aren't they getting into the drone delivery too?
They've been working on that for a while. I think they've actually instituted it in a couple of places just to see how it works and determine figure out the functionality.
Seems right? to me like the logistics are very difficult. I don't know. You'd have to have a big fleet of drones.
You just connect, like, you know, the old bank tube? We just need to connect the big, all the bank tubes and just, you just have it pop up to you like
everybody
like the Jetsons, right, or something.
Like the water system, just like utilities.
You
but you can't fit a couch in there.
No.
Well, anyways, that's what's going on in the market.
IKEA might be able to. They could put that couch in about 2,000 parts, right?
Here's the worst. To get a box and some assembly required, and there's all the nuts and bolts, and they're labeled, and you get a little Allen wrench, you know, that's made out of cheap metal, and instructions that are about, an eighth of an inch big, the type. But I've put a lot of things together, you know, it all works out eventually. But that's today's day and age in order to ship something to you. I mean, they've become masters at packing. I'm sure that's all done with the artificial. I remember in the early days of Amazon, it took a long time for Amazon to become profitable.
When they used to have the foam, remember they used to have the foam little things in there, right, for the longest time, and now of course they use the little air packs or whatever,
and
so the kids can pop them.
Well, for many years with the .com stocks that delivered and whatnot, you made more money in the cardboard stocks that made the packaging, like Graphic Packaging. It's still a good stock.
Yeah, it's a big business, especially when you have graphics and everything else on there. It's expensive.
It's expensive, and they were making money. They were the bricks and mortar, like Levi's was during the gold rush of 1849 in California. It was the picks and the shovel makers that made the money, while the gold miners, some struck it rich, but not very many did. And the same thing in the .com. I mean, that was the weeding out in the year 2000 was the weeding out, the massive weed out of the .com stocks. And the survivors went on. There's not very many today, but obviously Amazon survived and then some. Okay, if you'd like to set up an appointment with us, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. If you want to keep up with the market this year, it's going to be a different year from last year. I don't think you can park yourself in 7 stocks and take the rest of the year off like last year. This would be a lot more difficult. You know, try out the app. The app will guide you to the fertile areas of the market. No guarantees, but that's where you want to at least begin your search. Narrow it down. Go to GundersonCapital.com, BestStocksNowApp.com, or call us at 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.